This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ted Davies. He's the president of Unisys Federal Systems. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Morning, John. I'm very well. Thanks for having me today.
Well, we spoke a few minutes before the show, and I have like 30 pages of questions here, and I don't even know where to start. Let's start with you. Tell us a little about your background and how you wound up working for this company called Unisys, please.
Sure. I grew up in New York, migrated to Northern Virginia about 30 years ago now, amazingly. I've been involved with government consulting early on in my career, moved towards IT management, and now into IT implementation. Been with Unisys now about 8 years, and I'm managing the Unisys federal business.
Great. I've been around for a few years myself, not my first day at the rodeo. And hey, 15, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you thought of Unisys, you figure piece of hardware, you know, you'd buy Unisys and throw up in a truck. And now, increasingly, when you think of Unisys, you think of services and you think of disruption and change and moving to new areas. Well, Unisys sure has changed clothes there over the years, haven't they?
Absolutely. Unisys is a really interesting and dynamic place, a global IT solutions company. The heritage, as you mentioned, is in the data center and in building a very secure and reliable mainframe computers. But over the last 20 years or so, really has evolved into building services around our platforms. And we've branched out into doing services across the whole IT industry. When we work in four main areas, we call them areas of strength. The first one is around the data center. It's the solutions and the services in the data center, helping data centers transform and modernize. The second one is around application modernization and maintenance. The third one is around a wide range of security solutions. And the fourth area that we focus on is around end user support. And we're calling it now MyWork Services, supporting all sorts of devices that the end users bring into the office.
Including MyWork Services for mobile.
Correct.
I mean, I can't, I'm so stuck with Unisys. I can't think of Unisys helping my listeners manage mobile devices, but they're doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're active in Twitter, you can do hashtag Unisys and find the last 20 tweets. And what you'll find is probably the last five tweets are in five different languages. I mean, I looked this morning, Brisbane, Sao Paulo, Brazil. I mean, it is a global company, isn't it?
Absolutely. Over 100 countries around the world. Really, really exciting stuff happening. And really what's happened over the last few years as a leader of our federal business, very exciting for me, is the ability to draw some things from other parts of the company. So we collaborate in a great way across boundaries as if we're one large global organization.
My typical listener is a federal IT professional working in one of the agencies here, but we have a lot of other listeners. But many of the agencies here are international in scope. And so I think the benefits that a company like yours can bring to an organization that has an international reach is readily apparent. And I think that's what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about, well, geez, Unisys has been around a long time. They're making changes. What can they do for the typical listener? I mean, what value should it be to even listen to this interview or find out what Unisys has got? Well, Unisys has got a great story to tell. And I think one good place to start is with this UnisysSecurityIndex.com. I was there this morning. It's got all kinds of stuff there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating program that we started about 5 years ago. Twice a year in 11 countries around the world, we survey the general population. It's actually an independent organization surveys for us. We just take a look at the results and then draw conclusions from that. But the United States is one of them, but there's, as I said, 10 other countries.
Well, yeah.
Where we pick up the sentiment of the population and how they're feeling about their security in their part of the world. And we look at financial security and cybersecurity and physical security and homeland security. And we find some interesting things. The most recent index that we did in the last month or so here in the United States really started to gather questions. First of all, folks in the United States feel more secure this year than they did last year. When you look at the things that are happening around the world, it was a pretty dramatic year last year with the Arab Spring and the capture, or actually the killing of Osama bin Laden, and some things that were going on. But I think this year, we're finding folks feeling a little more generally secure in terms of the survey. But a lot of feedback for the presidential candidates. We asked a specific question: what would you like to see the presidential candidates focus on in terms of security? And a big push now for obviously managing our cyber threat to the country, but also the threat to the country's infrastructure, the utilities, and places like that. So, big push for the presidents to secure the borders and continue to look at what the right things to do there are. But very interesting studies that give us some interesting conversations with our customers.
Ted, a lot of my listeners may be listening to this in the fall and thinking about the Redskins, mm-hmm. and listening to this interview. You can still go to unisyssecurityindex.com, and it's a great site. There's white papers, there's videos, there's blog. The blog is called the Disruptive IT Trends Blog. Mm-hmm. With a big established company like Unisys, mm-hmm. you wouldn't think the blog would be called Disruptive IT Trends, would you?
Well, maybe not. But the IT industry, everybody who's listening knows the IT industry is changing so dramatically almost on a weekly basis, and we just see major things shifting around us. And as a agile provider of IT solutions, we got to keep addressing those disruptive trends and bring new things to market.
Speaking of disruption and trends and press releases, there's two press releases I saw just today. One was a big contract with the IRS. The other one was a mobility solution that was released. I mean, this is a traditional market and a new market, mm-hmm. both on the same page. One press release asked for another. So yeah. Unisys has seemed to be working in this area. Let's talk maybe a little about the IRS, what they're doing, mm-hmm. and then make a transition over to the mobile application, please.
Sure. We've had a long-term partnership with the IRS. We've been in their data centers for years, helping them with our core operations. And we've implemented lots of solutions and managed lots of different applications for them. I think the press release yesterday was around the Link and Learn solution. It's a small program that connects different offices, and we've maintained that for a lot of years. So we continue to build our partnership with the IRS as one of our key clients.
And the mobility solution suite, is this an area you're working in new, or is this an existing program that's expanding? Or tell me a little about the mobility solutions.
Well, I've started to describe the work in mobility that we do, and I think anybody in this industry has to do, is basically table stakes. That every single organization that you're dealing with, whether it's commercial or government, is now has some aspect of mobility affecting the way they operate their infrastructure. And so as a solutions provider, if you want to be a full cycle solutions provider, you got to be able to help them rationalize and figure out how to move forward. So what we announced yesterday was really just a formalization of some things that we've been doing over the last couple of years in terms of helping agencies and the government, or I said private sector customers, figure out how do you rationalize and bring devices onto your network? How do you enable the utilization of things that people want to bring in? One of our disruptive trends we discuss is consumerization of IT, which is the people bringing devices into work from home. And so the first step is really around making sure those devices can operate on the network. We're now, we got a long way to go as an industry to help agencies and private sector customers figure out how to really take advantage of those devices. Right now they're all plugged in and they're operating, but there's a lot of work to be done around re-engineering processes and really re-engineering the way organizations carry out their mission to really take advantage of the mobile platforms that are now being put on their network. So the announcement we had yesterday was a real description of the work that we do to help customers get across that line.
I was at an event a couple weeks back, and I was talking to someone, and the hashtag, of course, is MDM, Mobile Device Management. So I was real proud of myself that I was talking to this person. I'm saying, hey, MDM, Mobile Device Management. He said, no, John, it's Mobile Data Management. And I said, well, now that's a transition. That's thinking. It's a better perspective, I think. And that's what Unisys tries to bring is, okay, you got all these devices. I mean, what's important is managing the stuff that's coming and going out of these devices, I would think.
I think picking up on the data rather than device is critical. And I think that's what people are now recognizing. It's really not the device that matters, it's the data that matters. And big hang up for most CIOs and CISOs is securing the device, but now really it's about securing the data and not the device.
It's if you hang your hat in the device, well, good luck, it's going to change in, I don't know, what time is it? 3 weeks?
You can't keep up with all the devices, correct. And you can't keep, people are going to lose devices, that you're going to have problems. There's almost no way to be 100% accurate in everything. So you got to worry about your data.
So Unisys can take their skill set and help my listeners assess their current mobile situation, maybe look at options for application development, apps, and maybe focus in on something called authentication, kind of a big topic there. But those are some of the two or three main areas, I would think.
It really is. We also opened a center out in St. Louis about a year and a half ago that focuses on application modernization in general, but really around mobile application development. So we took as an example, for decades, we've been working with the National Weather Service, and we've built a weather solution that private sector and government clients buy services from, and they get data feeds that we've integrated into packages that make sense for them. We mobilize that. So you can go on to the stores today and find our Unisys Weather Enthusiast app, which is a really neat application.
It sounds like classic insourcing. And when we get back, we'll talk more about maybe GSA and the cloud and a little organization called ACT-IACT. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we had Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. Before the interview, Ted turned to me and said, well, should we talk about the cloud? I said, no, that's not important for my federal listeners. I think we've got to talk about the cloud and Unisys and your role in here and maybe some of the success. You might as well take and brag. I mean, you got the forum here. Let's talk about it. Unisys is doing good work.
Yeah, we like to talk about the cloud, and the things that we do with the cloud is real cloud and making the cloud work. So the first big notable success I think that I would talk about is with GSA and a very close partnership with that entire agency to move their collaboration and email requirements to the cloud via the Google Apps for Government suite. And we accomplished that last year, and it's been well advertised, the amount of money that GSA is going to save. We did it all in 5 months, which is a pretty phenomenal transition. And it literally saved them millions of dollars in the process. And I think, you know, what I would mention to anybody who's looking at the cloud is this is not a plug-and-play atmosphere. The move to the cloud is complicated, both technically and most importantly, organizationally. And so whoever you partner with, better understand the technology hurdles that you're going to face, as well as the organizational change that has to take place. And both those things were very evident in their success at GSA.
We're in the studio here at Federal News Radio. I can look through the window and I can see Jason Miller. Last week, Jason Miller interviewed Steve Van Roeckel. Mm-hmm. And this is what he talked about. The lead from Van Roeckel was, hey, GSA saved millions of dollars in this move to the cloud. I mean, you know, the GSA, so Steve is a big hero and the GSA is a big hero. Yep. But who did the heavy lifting?
There's always technical hurdles. We've now done three of these moves
to
the cloud.
Unisys did the work here. So.
And it's a complicated thing. You know, on the Van Roeckel discussion, notable yesterday in the news was a year and a half now since the 25-point plan.
18 months, right? Yep, we're almost to the day.
Yep. And so, you know, the need to move three customer-facing applications to the cloud for each agency was put out there. I think OMB estimated that about 80% of that has actually taken place, and they expect to save $100 million across those programs next year. So the move to the cloud can be effective if it's done in a smart way.
I'm sure when Vivek Kundra came up with those 25 points, a lot of my listeners scratched their heads and going, no way. It was a little. It was ambitious, you know?
It
but
was.
If you shoot for the stars and hit the moon, well, not too bad a deal.
I think it was a bold way to move forward, and there's been a lot of successes. We haven't made as much progress in some areas, but it's directionally correct, and that's the best you can do in a very crazy industry.
I work with a lot of software developers, and I don't think a software developer can speak without being near a whiteboard and graphing things. I mean, their arm is part of their brain, I think. And if we took and put a graph on federal IT spending, and you've read what Steve Van Roeckel has to say too, is that, you know, budgets flat or declining. They've accomplished what they pretty much set out to do. I mean, the big picture is there.
Budgets are definitely declining. I'm not sure that they can all be attributed to active better management. It's probably to the budget environment as well. I know Gartner is now out there with real negative forecasts for next year and the year beyond. So it's going to be a very tight market. And solutions that allow agencies to save money and still accomplish mission are going to be the ones that people are going to be wanting to buy.
And in order to accomplish goals, one way to do it is to avail yourself of the different organizations in town that can assist. One organization in town is called ACT-IAC, and I think you're working with these folks on a program coming up. Is that right, Ted?
I am. The American Council for Technology and the Industry Advisory Council work together to bring government and industry leaders and really address complex challenges. There's no lobbying that goes on. It's really fostering an environment for dialogue and conversation, which I think is very consistent with the 25-point plan and really better government in general. But every fall, ACT-IACT has a conference. Last few years, it's been down in Williamsburg, and it's called the Executive Leadership Conference, and it really does bring executive leadership, CIOs and CTOs and senior-level people from the government as well as industry, about two-thirds industry, one-third government. And it's a landmark conference for them every year, a lot of really great content. And this year, they asked me to co-chair it with Casey Coleman, the CIO at GSA. And so Casey and I have been hard at work on that for a number of months now. The planning starts in the fall for the following fall. And we have an exciting conference. You know, it'll be right ahead of the election. And really, the overall theming on it is navigating in a world of change, basically. We're looking at big tracks around mobility, around big data, around a knowledge workforce, and how do you manage a new generation workforce in an IT world. And also the kind of tagline on one of the tracks that we're looking at is better, faster, and cheaper. And typically organizations, you hear the mantra, you can take better, faster, and cheaper, pick any two. I think we're looking at it with the new IT environment that you actually can get all three if you do it right. So it should be a really interesting conference that we're excited about in the fall.
So more information, you can type in ACT-IAC conference, or where would you go for more information?
That's where you'd go.
Yeah, just type
ELC.
In there. Yeah. ELC is the conference. Going to be interesting to find out how the changes are taking place. You know, it's interesting. We have a friend of the family who's a 30-year-old young man, and he went to Virginia Tech and was a pilot for a few years and then wanted to work for the FAA because he thought his skill sets, he was a program manager and a pilot, he thought his skill sets would fit, and he's working there very successfully. And that is the type of person that I think that you and Casey will assist the audience in trying to manage. Yep. So you have a person like this. His name happens to be Joe. He's a great kid. He went to Thomas Jefferson High School. I've known him all his life. Mm-hmm. He's a wonderful kid, and he sincerely wanted to help the federal government working with pilots because he's a pilot. And so how do you manage some bright young man like that? That is a challenge.
And it's a whole different workforce. They have different expectations in the way they operate, and it really the technology solutions you put in place can really enable better management and better utilization of the human capital that every agency and every organization is bringing in today. So,
and he reflects many of the people in Silicon Valley is that he's not very interested in automobiles. He wants to be able to take a metro to work and metro back and forth. Mm-hmm. And by the way, he's going to have a tablet with him. And what are you doing to make his life easy? I mean, he will give you a lot of hard work and insight and brains and But it's such a different workforce than even 15 years ago.
And he wants to contribute. The old world of hierarchical management is fading away. And you know the generation that of talented individuals that are out there today want to be part of the solution, not be told what the solution is. So we have the tools and the capabilities. We got to enable organizations to succeed with that generation. That's a key part of the conference.
I have three children over 21. And none of them sit down at dinner and go, well, Dad, I'm looking for long-term retirement, and I want a good, stable. I don't think this younger generation is looking for that. I think they're looking for challenges and having an impact in long-term. And maybe this conference is going to talk about, well, how do you interview college students for these jobs today, and how do you maybe retain them? And this is a challenge in the mobile environment, too. Yeah. I mean, what about mobile apps? It's one thing to hire someone to do a mobile app, whole separate thing to keep them.
And how do you bring them on board, integrate them quickly into the organization, take their ideas, and enable them to have an impact quickly? The ability, and 20 years ago, you bring somebody on, it took them a year or two to be able to contribute anything really important. you get it in week one if you do it right now, so...
Yeah, there's no year onboarding, and make sure you're up to speed. If you read press releases and announcements in the last few weeks, there's been all kinds of interesting security releases. One thing is called FedRAMP, and FedRAMP directly applies to the cloud. Give us a quick nutshell of FedRAMP. We'll take a break and maybe dive deeper into that.
Sure. FedRAMP, as most of have been reading, really allows agencies to certify once and then use many times, so that every time you want to bring a new solution online that's cloud-based, you don't have to go through an accreditation process every single time. So GSA and OMB have worked carefully on this. Homeland Security leadership has been involved, as well as DOD leadership. To put this program into place, they've accredited now 9 providers that can do independent assessments, and they have a board with those agency CIOs working together to make sure that a solution that's going to be put into the cloud complies with all the federal security standards. And once that solution has been accredited one time by this group, it doesn't have to be recertified every time an agency wants to utilize it. So should save time and should save a lot of money. And I think also importantly, encourage folks to build new solutions and try and get them onto the government and into the government infrastructure.
I think 18 months ago, that fellow named Vivek talked about reducing duplication. And this is putting it in work boots. This is reducing Absolutely. Duplication. This lofty goal from a year and a half ago Yep. is now real practical. Let's take a quick break. We come back, talk more about FedRAMP, and maybe it'll touch on security and Unisys. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems, talking about Unisys, the cloud, talking about ACT, IACT, talking about data centers. Well, an initiative that started 18 months ago was also this whole idea of reducing duplication. Okay, we know that was software. What about reducing servers? Or there's a whole idea in reducing the number of data centers out there. What kind of success has that had? And from your perspective at Unisys, has that increased security, caused security problems, reduced duplication? Or what's your perspective on this, please?
All the above, John.
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, yes, and yes. Next question now. The move to consolidating data centers is long overdue. Vivek talked pretty extensively about it during the 25-point plan rollout. Just the proliferation was unbelievable, and it's just very ineffective from a cost perspective, from a security perspective, and a management perspective. So that's well underway. It appears that they've made a lot of progress, literally closing hundreds of data centers, and the continued move is going to be important. I think what's changed even in the last couple of years as the cloud has become more real is you don't necessarily have to consolidate all functions into data centers. You got to take a hard look at what you were putting in your data centers, plural, before, and as you move forward, determine what needs to move to the cloud, what needs to be set up in a more consolidated infrastructure that you own. And so it's really more of a rationalization of the entire data center space that's going on today, and agencies, I think, are embracing it. Primarily for budget issues. So.
You know, it's interesting. I have a 23-year-old son. I got him a car about 5 years ago. And I have a little folder where I keep all the maintenance, the bills in there. And I handed it to him this week. And I said, okay, Kev, build me a spreadsheet. Tell me exactly what the maintenance cost in this car over the last 4 years. He never thought of doing that. But it's interesting with a data center, too. People have a data center. They add a data center. And all of a sudden, they have to sit back and go, well, what's this data center costing me? What is on here? What isn't on here? And you have to occasionally sit back and take a list of how many oil changes you've had. You have to have a list of how many servers you have and what are due for refresh.
Absolutely. And the cost for infrastructure goes well beyond just the hardware and software that you put in there. It's the power. And it's the maintenance on the building. So you can save significantly in your carbon footprint just by doing this in a smart way.
One footprint we have is blogs. And I'll be blogging about this interview for my company. It's called Armature. You can type in John Gilroy Armature and find my blog, or John Gilroy blog. That's pretty easy. And the blog for the company is called UnisysSecurityIndex.com. There's blogs there. There's videos. There's little clips. There's a fellow named Steve Vincic. Got a video up there right now. I'm sure you can see it. In fact, your CIO's, or I think a security guy's got a video up there now, too.
Yeah.
So it's every listener wants information in a different manner. Some want videos, some want audio, some want to read something. So you got the blogs, you got everything going on. So a lot
you
of ways.
YouTube channel.
Is there a YouTube channel for Unisys?
Yeah,
really?
There is.
I thought of looking there, but I never thought, I guess I should start at YouTube searching.
You can get us anyway. It's just a smart way to communicate with a diverse set of people that are interested in your organization.
Yeah, so go to YouTube, and I mean, it's interesting how you can type in those things at YouTube and find in. I typed in accreditation there last week at YouTube. There's blogs just on accreditation of all the dry, tedious subjects in the world.
It makes you wonder.
Yeah. There's an exciting subject, though, is your partnership with Google and working with the GSA and working with other organizations. So Unisys works with a wide range of organizations to help solve federal needs. Tell us about your partnership here with Google.
Yeah, the partnership with Google has been really exciting. It started, even before the GSA implementation. We started working with them to really frame out under what circumstances would an agency want to use the Google suite of solutions? And that manifested in the proposal and in the execution of GSA. But we've also implemented with Google and another partner at NOAA, and we've implemented now at one of the national labs for Department of Energy. And we've got lots of other things going on with them. So it's been a great partnership because primarily we see their solutions really meeting agency needs. And that's really where we come from. We really believe and act as a technology independent organization. So we'll look at a customer's infrastructure and requirements and determine almost on a case-by-case basis what's the best solution for them. And Google's been a great partner. They got some great engineers and solutions. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that we've got strong partnerships with places like Microsoft who compete with Google. We do a lot of work now with Salesforce. We have good partnership with Amazon and IBM and others. So, it's really important, I think, as a systems integrator in the marketplace to be agile and to be very objective as to what solution you're bringing in to a customer. And that's something we really pride ourselves on.
Now, we started the interview talking about old school Unisys and boxes and trucks delivering Unisys equipment and the transition into a services organization focusing on public sector and financial services. It's interesting that all of a sudden that you're not just playing one box, one operating system. You're positioning yourself to be a service provider for the best of breed, or what's the right size shoe that fits here. It's always interesting when organizations like you work with a wide variety of companies like Salesforce or Google or Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it is not a one size fits all. The best of breed concept goes back a long way, back to the COTS world, which you don't hear that used quite as often. But being able to determine what the right fit is and then integrating, and especially with now the push to mobility, the integration challenges are only getting larger because now you're not only integrating on the back end and the infrastructure and then on the desktop and the laptop, but you've got to make sure the solutions operate in a secure manner with mobile devices and a wide range of mobile devices. So that the role of the integrator, I think, is becoming more and more important. The other thing I'd mention there, I touched on, I think, a little bit earlier, is the need for organizations to transform at the same time as they put these solutions in place. If it's just plug something in and try and do business the same way as you did it before, you're really not taking advantage of the technologies you're putting in play and, quite frankly, spending money to put in play. So the change management and the organizational realignment that has to take place is crucial, and some organizations underestimate that as well.
You used the word authentication, and when you read about FedRAMP, they talk about dual-factor authentication. I think commercial companies are worried about mobile user authentication. This seems to be a pretty key concept here for incorporating mobile devices into enterprises.
Yes, it is. Interesting other side comment from the security index results that we had was that the number one, when the survey of U.S. Citizens around security, the number one area where they wanted to have authentication was in complex passwords. So, while I think there is a sentiment and for other biometrics, complex passwords are still the number one way for authentication that this survey suggested Americans wanted to have on mobile devices. But there's multi-modes to do it. And that's one area that we also have a lot of strength in is around biometrics. Everything from iris and facial and voice and fingerprint and DNA and others. So, I think it's really important for agencies to figure out what's the right way to authenticate. But that little vignette from the security index around people liking complex passwords was interesting for me.
When we introduced you earlier in the program, you didn't say much about your background. You're a very humble guy. I mean, you were a Federal 100 Award winner. You've got a master's degree. You've got a lot of successful experience with a wide range of organizations here, Ted. Tell us about the Federal 100 Award and what you got that for. How'd you wind up with that select group of folks?
I was very proud to be selected for that. I quite frankly didn't even see what the nomination said, but I think we had done a lot of work around moving to the cloud. We had done the GSA implementation. We were in the process of that, and we had really moved a number of agencies forward, a number of critical missions, and many of our customers, from Customs and Border Protection to the FDIC to HHS and others, had won awards for the programs that we had implemented. So I think it was a recognition that we had an organization that was really having a positive impact. And I've tried to stay active in the community as well. I'm on the board of the United Way, the National Capital Area, the Lupus Foundation of America. I've been very active with the Kidney Foundation. So I think having an impact in the community is important as well.
You know, the Red Cross has got an amazing story about mobile donations and helping assist people in Katrina. I think that's almost a textbook study. And probably in the Harvard Business School, they'll talk about that in the future, how successful that was. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk more about maybe Twitter feeds and Twitter handles and give you my scientific test on whether or not you're a card-carrying nerd. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we're speaking with Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we had Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. We've talked about everything from the cloud to blogs. We've talked about the Disruptive IT Trends blog at unisyssecurityindex.com. A lot of people listening to follow Twitter feeds. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and I think Unisys has a Twitter handle. Is that right?
Unisys Corp.
Unisys Corp. You can find out what's going on. I went through this morning, and it's all kinds of things. Find out press releases, what people are doing in South Africa. I mean, you never know what you're going to find when you follow Unisys on Twitter, so kind of interesting. I'll be tweeting about my blog and tweeting about this blog here with Disruptive IT Trends blog. I do like that title. Now, every guest that's in here has to take this scientific test. So we're going to give you this very, very scientific test, Ted, to see if you are a card-carrying nerd or not. Are you ready?
Is there a pass-fail on this?
No. We rate you very carefully. So year you bought your first computer?
1987.
87, that's respectable. It's not bad. Year your first cell phone?
You know, I'm going to guess 1994.
94, okay.
This is all based on my kids' ages. So pre-kid, post-kid, yeah.
Your Twitter, do you have no Twitter feed?
No individual.
You have an individual blog?
Internal Unisys, not external.
Ooh, internal. Oh, that interesting. Everyone wants to know what Ted's this is like Ted Med, huh? So what does Ted think? do you have online personal backup that you use?
Not personally, no.
You're getting weak on this nerd test. You could be normal. You could be normal, Ted.
I told you.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I got an iPhone.
Okay. How many apps you have on that bad boy?
100 plus.
Now that's getting close to being nerdy. Do you have a tablet device?
Yeah, I have an iPad.
Okay. What social networking sites do you participate in?
LinkedIn really is the one that I use.
Well, I do too, so that's fine. And the last book read, was it paper or electronic?
Well, I was reading two books, one paper, one electronic.
That's so not the right answer. You gotta make a bet here. Bet on a horse. Okay. Which one?
The last one, it was paper.
Paper, okay. Well, you were approximating a nerd there with your apps, but I'll have to run this through the UNIVAC and find out. UNIVAC who made the UNIVAC computer anyway? Was it, maybe it was Unisys, I don't remember.
It was.
It was?
It was, our predecessor company.
Was it Sperry UNIVAC?
Yep.
That's what it was, Sperry UNIVAC, years ago, UNIVAC computer. That's. Yep. I still think about hardware when I think about Unisys. There's my little subconscious ploy there.
The consistency is that the things that we built back then were secure and reliable and scalable and trusted, and that's really in the DNA of the organization. So there is still extremely strong engineering talent in the company that goes all the way back, but it's just been applied in a different way today.
Makes sense. When you look at the federal government now, we see all kinds of changes taking place. Where do you see Unisys positioning itself here in the next few years?
Well, we are, and I would expect us to continue to be, just trusted partners with more and more agencies. I think, you know, when I get out and talk to clients, that's really what they tell me, is that we really, really trust your people and we trust your company to make us successful. So no surprise that I would see that in a changing landscape with the industry constantly in churn, with more and more budget pressures and more technologies that are coming online, to trust Unisys to help organizations move forward in that landscape. I get asked a lot about, you know, what does success look like? And, you know, those of you that follow the Fed one or the 100, you know, largest IT companies, you know, the usual players are at the top of the list. I don't see us being number one in terms of the size of the business in the federal market. Where I always like to focus is with our agency clients, with our key agencies we work with, I want to be thought of as, you know, top of the list when they have a new challenge that they're facing that requires an IT solutions provider. And there are a number of places where I feel like we've achieved that. And doesn't mean that we do everything for that agency, but certainly where we're a top provider and a trusted provider. but also to have us as thought leaders in the market. And I know you've had on Steve Vincik and Peter Gallagher and I think others, you know, on these shows. We've got some really brilliant people and really, really interesting perspectives. And I want us to be viewed that way as an organization that brings fresh ideas to the market and then is able to apply them. The collaboration and the email and communication story we put into GSA was not only a hypothetical cloud could solve this problem thing, it was really making it work. And so that being viewed that way, I think, is really important for us.
You know, I humorously talked about Steve Vincik, but we had him on the air. He had very good insights for security, especially in regards to border protection. And you can go to the blog and find out more what Steve has to say. But he's got a broad background and a lot of unusual situations where you wouldn't expect that expertise. And yes. I think that's the challenge. I mean, my listeners are such a diverse population. I mean, there's the State Department. They're everywhere in the world. There's people focusing on the interior of the United States. There's people focusing on ICE. I mean, there's so many different people listening to the show. I mean, who do you trust? And someone's going to come and give you a mobile assessment. Who's going to give a fair assessment on what you need, what you don't need? I think a lot of people are trying to figure it out. And do we have a mobile site, or should we develop apps for the site? And if I go up to a company that writes apps, they're going to say apps.
Yeah, you're right. If you ask a carpenter who has a hammer in his hand, what does that look like? He's going to tell you it's a nail every single time.
Sure.
So, you know, again, back to our technology independence, we really try to bring the broad set of perspectives in to solve that unique challenge.
And the international perspective is there as well. Give me I don't know if this is a company proprietary. What percentage of the business is overseas? What percentage? It seems like so much is overseas from Unisys. What's the division there?
Over half our work is overseas.
No kidding.
Yep.
And so what happened was years ago, maybe you had a good foothold in a lot of different organizations, mm-hmm. and they went with you because it worked.
Correct. And we've expanded from there. So it does go back to, you know, decades where we were in literally hundreds of countries. And we've done some winnowing, I think, over the past few years to try and focus on where we can have the biggest impact. But we still have big businesses in Europe and Asia Pacific and Latin America as well. So
the lessons learned there will apply to many different of my listeners too, when they have to deal with different foreign languages, maybe something to do with a metric system. That's always different from you outside the United States. So ACT-IAC conference coming up, ELC. Who should attend? Who shouldn't?
Certainly, executives that are interested in understanding what's going on. You're not going to learn how to build an application there, a mobile app there, but you will learn how to make sure that as you're considering the best way to implement mobility in your organization, some of the lessons learned. And we're trying to get cross-industry perspective. So, you know, when we've attracted and we are attracting more folks from the defense community than ACT-IAC has before. And we're also going to have within there the kind of lessons learned, whether it's from health IT, you know, whether it's from the transportation industry, like I said, from the defense world. So trying to make sure that you get kind of cross-pollination in these different discussions. It's really meant to have folks walk away, you know, thinking about some of these things a little differently than when they came there, not necessarily learning any fact that's going to change their world, but some things they want to try or practice later on.
I'm personal friends with some federal IT professionals that don't listen to the show, and I don't have anything to do with them technically, but, you know, I used to play softball with a couple of them. And many are wary of going to these events because they're figuring they're stuck between two salesmen
I'm glad you brought that up, John, because this is the title of ELC is the Executive Leadership Conference. And one of the things that that Casey and I were chartered with doing is making sure that we do focus the content and try and get, you know, folks that come to this thing with more of an executive perspective. So what is definitely a different feel for ACT-IAC for many conferences, typically they are fewer business development type focused conversations, and we're trying really hard to push that to the side so we can talk about these bigger issues that affect government and industry.
And I think that's a challenge many of my listeners have is there's 140 federal events every month. I mean, you could just be a full-time job going to federal events. I think you have to winnow, to use the word you used earlier, you have to bring that down to, okay, what is going to have the bang for the buck? Where am I going to figure out what my strategy is going to be the next few years? Maybe ACT-IAC is targeted enough, because I don't think anybody can just sign up and go. You have to be a member of ACT. I think you have to apply or something. I'm not sure how the commercial folks get in.
Yeah. Member companies, you know, obviously, you know, get first come, first serve on the attendance. We'll close with 900 people. So the facility can only handle that many. And like I said, in the past, two-thirds have been industry, one-third government. So, you know, I think, you know, registration is going to fill up relatively quickly.
Yeah, I spoke down there many, many years ago. I spoke down there in 99, and the topic was what's going to happen when the transition takes place over to 00. That was it's a while back, but it's a nice place. It's close enough to town. It's far enough away. It's almost like having your kid at William & Mary, close enough, you can down there in 2 hours, but far enough away where you don't want to see them.
Yeah, it's good. And this year, you know, I went in 2008 during the last presidential election, and it's just a fascinating time for the government market because, you know, you're going to have some kind of change. Even if the president is reelected, you know, there would be new cabinet and there'll be a lot of new people, obviously, on Capitol Hill. So there's going to be a lot of change that's going to be underway in the next, you know, 9 months. And a lot of challenges for our country and for our government. There'd be a lot of interesting dialogue around that.
Changes and challenges at the ACT-IACT ELC conference coming up in October. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Ted Davies, President, Unisys Federal Systems. Thanks, Ted.
Thanks for having me, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.